I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
In only 2 days, you can move your career further, faster with a Harvard DCE Professional and Executive Development Program. Advance your leadership skills, craft smarter business strategies, build your network, and move your career in the right direction. You'll earn a certificate of completion, add Harvard to your CV, and become the leader you want to be. Our intensive programs are designed to fit into your busy schedule. Attend online or on the Harvard campus. Search Harvard Professional and Executive Development to learn more.
Hello, welcome to the I Disagree podcast. I'm Jordan Coburn.
And I'm Steve Shustick. Hello, welcome.
Oh, yes. And we are back to recording in separate houses because COVID.
COVID!
Coco. I said COVID, not Coco. Okay, Steve, how are you?
I'm chilling. How are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I'm good.
You've been drinking that eggnog?
I have not. Also, why is everyone jumping to celebrating Christmas? It's like everybody was like, fuck Thanksgiving, which I'm not a fan of.
That's not how it works at all.
Okay.
We are in the holiday season, which extends from pre-Thanksgiving to post-Christmas. And any time within the quote-unquote holiday season, noggin is A-okay.
I disagree.
Yeah?
Well, I mean, mostly on the premise that you can drink eggnog whenever, but when it comes to celebrating holidays, they're on the calendar for a reason. There are timelines. There's the Thanksgiving timeline, and then you close that chapter. Then you have the Christmas timeline. We can't just go all willy-nilly mixing our holidays. Is that what Jesus wants? No. He's not sharing the spotlight with a fucking turkey. Let me tell you that. It's one of his poorest creations, just aesthetically.
Did you know that it came down to the turkey and the bald eagle to be the mascot of the United States?
Oh, wow. Really?
Between the turkey and the bald eagle. And a lot of people make some pretty compelling turkey arguments to this day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Can you share one of them?
Well, apparently the turkey is more fierce and more loyal and patriotic.
Really?
Apparently a bald eagle is a busted ass bird. All it does is like, it's like a vulture. It just scavenges and acts like a bitch.
Oh yeah, my.
It's not like some, it looks dope with its beak, right? You're like, oh, that is a fierce animal. That is an apex predator right there. No, sir. Not from what I've been told on Reddit anyway. I could have been in a wormhole of bald eagle conspiracy theorists though.
Sure. I mean, or you could say it was just a prescient choice by whoever selects the bird of our nation, because they knew we would also just be nasty parasites.
Maybe. but we're also a bunch of turkeys. If
we are. Well, it is Thanksgiving, everybody. And I mean, you're eggnogging?
I'm nogging.
Do you do nog with alcohol? Because you're not in Sober October anymore.
No. This is no Remember November.
Oh, no Remember November. Look at that. You're also growing a beard.
You know it.
I've never seen that on your face before.
I always have a beard. What are you talking about? I just don't have the neck beard.
Eh. I think that's unkempt.
Yeah, I'm unkempt.
Yeah, beard.
I look like an Eastern European NBA player. I look like Peja Stojakovic. Like, those guys just didn't have razors for some reason in the early 2000s. Like, trim your beard, Peja. He was a three-point specialist. Played for, who did he play for? The Kings, I think. It's some dude from, like, Slovakia or whatever. And all those dudes that came over from Eastern Europe to the NBA, they wouldn't shave their neck beard. Just go out there full, like, nasty homeless man. It's like, dude, you make millions, dog. Clean it up. Tighten it up. Look at LeBron over there. Doesn't he look nice? You know what I'm saying?
I disagree with your nasty homeless man statement.
Well, I'm just saying that, you know, it's not like your average person experiencing homelessness has access to the best men's facial hygiene products.
You did a nice job pulling that back.
Got him. I haven't had that much nog. I'm still in the game, player. Let's do this.
Oh my God. I hope everyone at home is just noticing the stark contrast between sober Steve and fun Steve.
I'm in the game. Like, put me in, coach.
You must have been so miserable in October.
Oh man. Nah, it was all
right. There was just this sadness in your eyes. I'm just kidding.
Nah, it's all right, but it's Thanksgiving's Eve, and I don't have to work tomorrow, so yeah, I'm getting lit in the clit, you know what I'm saying?
Fuck yeah. Yes. I hope we get at least 8 different sayings out of Steve on this. Lit in the clit, everybody. That's oh God. All right. Well, I think
Want to defend the unkempt nature of Peja Stojakovic?
No, I just think it's like, it's just not the nicest language, you know, because then it's like associating something that is very like aesthetically displeasing with people that experience homelessness when you don't have to do that, you know?
You know, to be fair, if I was homeless, I'd be like, did you just say I look like Peja, bitch?
Oh yeah, you'd be like sick. Would that be a good thing or a bad thing?
That would be a bad thing. Oh, I don't know. It depends. I guess it depends on how they looked at it. Because the dude drained threes like no other. But man, he was a dirty looking man.
You said he played for the Kings.
I think he played for the Kings. Yeah.
Did Jason Kidd play for the Kings?
He may have at some point. He played for the Nets for a long period of time, and he won a ring with Dallas.
Other than Kobe, Shaq, and LeBron, Jason Kidd is the only, also Steph Curry. Kidd is the only other player that I know.
Those are the 5 NBA players you can name.
Yeah, and I was really hoping you were going to say, wow, yes, he did, Jordan. Very impressive. And then we could just move on.
You might be right. Are you way out of your depth here? We're talking about the basketball sports.
Yeah, I don't watch b-ball at all. I watch football because I grew up in a Patriots household, but for some reason that didn't bleed over into the Celtics, and I'm not sure why. It's just
now, are you a Patriots fan or are you a Tom Brady fan?
Patriots.
And who are you? So fuck Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Mainly because it exists in Florida, but also because I was actually just like born in Vermont and have family there, so it's a legitimate having roots in a place kind of thing. Tom Brady can go fuck himself as far as I'm concerned. Get the fuck out.
Oh.
Also,
gratitude for the multiple championships he brought you.
You know
what?
Oh
my God, that's why they say Boston fans are the worst.
You know what? Tom Brady cheated. He brought us to Deflategate. Everything that ever was bad that happened to the Patriots was because of Tom Brady. It just so happens that everything that was ever good also happened because of Tom Brady.
I love it. He won 5 championships for us, and one time he cheated on a football.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. I actually, throughout all of that, always kind of defended, you know, them, but it's all in good fun. I don't fucking play. It's just fun to have opinions on something you know nothing about. Ergo, I disagree podcast.
Excellent.
Let's get into the warm-up.
All right, so this is the warm-up segment where you, the listener, can contribute hot topics for us to riff and rabble about if you just want to hear us get silly. You would just send it to patreon.com/IDisagreePodcast, assuming you're at the $5 tier or above. And this next one comes from loyal listener Eric Mickelson, and I think it's very timely. What national holiday could you live without?
Ooh, there we go. Steve, do you have an answer?
You know, I was saying earlier how like the holidays goes from pre-Thanksgiving to post-Christmas. And frankly, I almost just want to cut New Year's out of the whole thing. I think it's arbitrary and dumb. And I think, wow, everybody gets together in Times Square and watches a ball drop like a bunch of lemons. Get out of here, you fucking chumps. Thanksgiving, you get fucking turkey and you get drunk and eat and Christmas, you get presents. Fucking Halloween, you get to dress up spooky. Fucking New Year's, you get to, ooh, everybody turn on the TV so we can watch other people watching a ball drop. You fucking lemmings. Kick rocks. That's what I say to New Year's.
Steve, I think I found your character. It's Eggnog Steve. You bring this energy everywhere you go now. Whenever there's a microphone. I find it interesting as a free thinker, you didn't choose any of the religious holidays.
Nah, they're fine.
Nah, I had to. Okay.
Which ones are religious?
Well, there's Easter, right?
Easter. Yeah, you know, Easter can fucking buzz off too.
More so, fucking rabbit. You only get one.
Fair point. Fair point.
Fucking rabbit. Okay, if you had to choose between Easter and New Year's, which would it be?
I guess Easter can fucking buzz off.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I don't even get it. Because I'm not Catholic, so I don't get it. But maybe that's just me being a bigot. Whereas if I told New Year's to buzz off, then I'm just equal opportunity, you know, buzz off man. So maybe, you know what? I'm switching back to New Year's. Kick rocks, New Year's. Who needs you? You're no good to anyone.
You just don't like happiness.
Is that true? I love the holidays from pre-Thanksgiving to post-Christmas.
Which are separate.
Well, I think they kind of bleed together, Jordan.
I disagree. I feel like I feel like New Year's is the best one. You just get together and everyone's fucking stoked. And then you just kiss someone, maybe get some mono into the January months. Great excuse to not come into work. Can't think of a better way to start the year, honestly. And then that's it. You had good times. You saw boom booms. You go to sleep.
You know, you did introduce fireworks into it, and that does change things a little bit.
Yeah.
It does.
I also feel like...
But again, it's like, hey, New Year's, you're fucking biting on 4th of July. Get out of here. Be original, you know?
Well, you grew up in Georgia, and I grew up in Las Vegas, which has the most epic New Year's celebrations ever outside of New York City.
I bet you guys go hard on New Year's.
Yes. Huh? It was so fun. We used to sit around the TV and then watch the live feed of the fireworks in every hotel, every major hotel.
See what I'm talking about now? Like, what? That's exactly what we did in fucking Macon, Georgia. Fuck looking at a TV with a bunch of people watching another bunch of people looking at a dumb ball drop. Get out of here. I'm done with you, dude.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
That's so funny. You're making a very good case, I must admit. Because of how you're saying it. I feel like here's the thing. In terms of how problematic a holiday is, 100% Thanksgiving is the worst. I do wonder, though, if we got rid of Thanksgiving, would we lose out on an opportunity to educate people about how truly, you know, gruesome the history is between white people and indigenous people? And I think people would say entirely, Jordan, that's what school is for. To which I would respond, you're right.
I guess my work is done here.
Yes. So I guess, if we're looking at the reasons why the holiday exists, absolutely Thanksgiving's on the chopping block. If we're worst?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, what if we look at the roots? I don't. What are the roots of it? What is November 26th represent in history?
It's really kind of just like propaganda for a relationship that's painted as positive between white people and indigenous people, and overall that's just not the case. It wasn't then and it's not now. So it's an incredibly unrealistic and intentionally so depiction of what actually happened during those times. So because of that, it's really shitty, I think. And honestly, anyone with a brain thinks and a heart.
Oh, she's coming at her. She's trying to get Eggnog Steve all riled up on here. All right, listen here.
I'm trying to crack some eggs.
I don't know if that's what Thanksgiving's about, though. I thought it was just about giving thanks for things that you're thankful for and getting together with friends and family. Like,
Yeah.
Does everything have to have some weird social justice spin on? Like, hey, while you're enjoying your turkey, don't forget about the indigenous genocide of the, like, can I just have some fucking cranberry sauce, man? Like, what are we talking about here?
I mean, you're that's the thing, though, is like, to you know, that might be all it is, but to like a very erased population, it's very painful and horrible. And then for people that
they told you this, they told you this personally.
I think any person with a brain would look at our history and be like, whoa, that was really fucked up. And the people that live in this country do not seem to have any respect for that. And the fact that they have a holiday that centers around our relationship with Native Americans and it's depicted as a positive relationship, that's just fucked up. You don't have to be a Native American to feel that way. That's just like wrong.
I mean, there's probably some people out there like that, but there's probably more people that are just like, oh, really? I don't know. I was just having some turkey.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think it's also
I'm just hanging out with my family.
Yeah. I mean, I do believe that both can exist. You know, I'm going to eat dinner tomorrow safely outside, actually, and only with two other people, my family. But yeah, I do think that effectively most people, you know, are not sitting there thinking like about everything that I said explicitly at all. They're just there to hang out with family and eat food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cultures all across America doing that. It's not a white tradition, it's an American tradition. Everybody does it pretty much.
Yeah. I'm not so sure that's exactly America. The case. I mean, like,
maybe recent immigrants.
Well, no, I was thinking more so like, for example, I got a notification of a group that's doing a screening of a documentary on the realities of that relationship between white people and indigenous people, and it's happening right when people eat dinner on Thanksgiving. So there are groups that actively choose to not participate.
Oh yeah, yeah, of course, yeah. But I mean, I'm just saying, by and large, culturally, it's an American tradition that's not exclusive to white America. It's just what we do here.
And yeah,
everybody can get together with their friends and family and have a nice pumpkin pie. Why not get in there? So you're picking Thanksgiving to 86?
Yeah.
And I'm going to the New Year's?
Yeah.
Ooh, I wonder who's going to win that. That'd be an interesting poll to take, because we both chose very popular national holidays. There's going to be controversy either way.
We did. Let's post that poll on Twitter, actually. In fact, I'm going to post that on Twitter. If you're listening to this, go to Twitter at the I Disagree Pod and let us know what you think. What's better to get rid of, Thanksgiving or New Year's? We'll see who wins. Why did I do that? Why did I follow you on that?
I tagged it.
God, it does feel good though. I kind of get it.
Football.
Oh, God.
All right. You want to do another one?
Yes.
Okay. Do you shop during this one? Also comes from Eric. Do you shop during Black Friday / Cyber Monday sales, or is it all too commercial?
Steve?
Man, you better get them savings where you can, son. Like, the premise behind the question is almost is like, do you shop during these times, or is it too commercial? But the implication behind the question is that, well, obviously you're shopping at other times. So yes. If you're already shopping, you might as well shop at the time you can get those savings.
Yeah. Okay. I disagree. I do not shop on Black Friday or Cyber Monday because it just promotes consumerism in a way that's entirely unnecessary. And it's consumerism that relies on a lot of really shitty labor too. So it's like we should all be trying to lessen the shit that we buy as much as possible and reduce, reuse, recycle as much as possible. And this holiday just encourages people to go out and go fucking nuts and get shit they don't need. I understand that a lot of people are going out getting things they do need. And for those people, this actually winds up being a really good thing for them, to which I say, do you. But if you have the shit you need, why not just not?
Well, you do shop and buy things, though, throughout the year.
I do, yes.
So you're spending more. So the things you would normally buy during the great savings of Black Monday, you wait to a time when it's not on sale to take a stand against the corporations by giving them more money. Oh, they got you again, Coburn.
I think it's just like the whole thing just seems so incredibly unpleasant to partake in person, especially.
That's a good point. Yes. I didn't think about that. I was thinking completely online. I don't go shopping.
Yes.
I mean, I do buy shit on Cyber Monday when the shit's on sale. Absolutely. Yeah, you're talking about like going there when people are like mobbing out. Yes. No, go ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you. It's also just like embarrassing, I think, kind of to, as a corporation, take a stance that you're going to take these items that you already mark up to a ridiculous price and you market to people that really shouldn't have them in terms of like making good spending decisions, you know, like a lot of these products. And so then, I mean, I'll say that for myself, like, I definitely have shit that I've bought that I shouldn't have gotten that I was not in a financial space to buy. And I'm like, oh, but there's a deal. When really, it's not a fucking deal. It's just them selling a thing for still way higher than it would sell just in terms of their costs and breaking even. These are companies that make such fat fucking margins that they're just, I'm just thinking of Walmart. It's just like, just Walmart through and through. When I think of Black Friday, I think of people trampling each other at Walmart, and the whole thing to me is just such like an unfortunate display of what it's like to exist as a person that just wants to feel good for like 5 seconds in this godforsaken capitalistic hellscape.
I know there's just too much abundance. It's terrible.
There's too much. And like at Walmart?
Yeah.
Too much abundance.
You can get a flat screen TV for like $200.
Yeah.
It's not nice. It's not as good as the one you'll get at like Best Buy or somewhere. But hey, sure. If you're broke.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to say people shouldn't have TVs. If you don't have a TV, you want a TV, and they've got good ones there for a good price. For sure. People should have a TV. They should be able to like tune into the world.
I'm very pro Walmart. I believe they provide a service to economically disadvantaged communities. It's a place to shop. I don't shop there that often, but I certainly did in college. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's a great place for fucking. They got everything there, and it's super cheap.
What are the consequences though of like being able to have low prices?
What do you mean?
I mean, you know how businesses work, right? It's like to get something to sell something at a smaller price, they have to be saving money somewhere else. And it's usually a dark place that happens.
Well, yeah, they don't pay that much.
Right. To work there. And those are the same communities that are buying the things oftentimes.
Right. So they're providing jobs and cheap goods.
They're providing shitty jobs and the cheap goods that have to be cheap because they're not getting paid enough in the community to afford shit that's not cheap and also relying on even more cheap labor. It's like a human centipede of cheap labor.
But they're obviously shitty jobs, but that's what working at Walmart is, you know, like how much experience or skill does it take to be a greeter? Like this is supposed to be a stepping stone.
Well, this is the thing that Walmart does too, which I think you can agree on. Walmart comes into small towns and completely just fucks all the small businesses. That is like 1000% a very documented thing.
But why? And why do the small businesses get fucked?
Because they can't compete.
Why can't
either they can't compete or their actual land gets bought out and then they can't relocate for whatever reason.
Well, why can't they compete though?
Because they're a small business. And then if it's like, oh, I can go to Sally that sells fresh made bread for, you know, whatever, a loaf, or I could just go to Walmart and get this shit that's like super fucking cheap. Granted, always going to have things like Wonder Bread at like gas stations or something, but I'm thinking of like a very specific example of a city that didn't have Walmart and now it has it. And really that consequence is like so far in the past at this point because Walmarts are in like every city.
Yeah. But I mean, the point is, I mean, if Walmart moves into a community and the local small business goes out of business because nobody shops there anymore, that means the community made a decision with their purchasing dollars.
But the community didn't make a decision for the Walmart to come in the first place.
But they could have said, fuck Walmart, we're going to still spend our hard-earned money at the local mom and pop shop. And they chose not to for whatever reason. Well, apparently Walmart provides some value that the smaller store did not. That people was the choosing most... to spend their money there.
I disagree. Also, I apologize for my childish that was like
I didn't even catch it. God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was interrupting you also, which is the only way to say nuh-uh.
Oh, I've been interrupting the whole thing. I'm gonna try and pull my noggin in. All right, here we go.
Yeah, you fucking eggnog. no, but you say that people are making a conscious choice to shop at Walmart instead of these small businesses. 1000%, the prices that Walmart can offer are lower than the prices that a mom and shop mom and pop shop can offer. So right. Is that really a choice? No.
No, yeah, it totally. Like, that's a rational choice too. I'm going to shop at the place that's cheaper. That's a rational choice of a consumer. What is the value proposition of this mom and pop shop that offers less goods at a higher price? What is their value proposition? What are they providing that Walmart's not to this hypothetical community that we're talking about?
I mean, a lot. They're providing goods that are not, first off, manufactured to a degree that's cancer causing. Most likely, I'm going to say. It's not supporting slave labor overseas. It's not supporting outsourcing. It's local. It's good for the economy collectively. It brings the people that actually live there up and builds wealth that goes into the pockets of the people in the community that are going to invest in other things, so many other things. It drives the wealth out of the hands of the people that live in a city and puts it in the hands of some fucking dude that doesn't do shit.
Doesn't do shit but provide a service at a lower price than the competitors to the community.
I take the shit part because he's doing a lot of shit. It's just evil shit. And it's not...
How is providing goods at a lower cost evil, though?
Because of the consequences. Did you listen to anything I just said?
I did, but you're leaving out the fact that now people are getting things cheaper that they want. And they're making a rational consumer choice on their own free will to shop there.
Sure. I'm just saying, I mean, if someone's struggling with money, which that's kind of a small town thing, you know, they're not exactly overflowing with wealth typically, then they're going to choose the option that's cheaper.
So you're saying these evil mom and pop shops need to quit overcharging the poor residents of this town. And you know what? I'm with you, Jordan.
Oh my God. No, I think that people start.
I'm trolling so hard. I'm sorry.
No, I don't know. I don't think it's that hard. I think this is like a lot of arguments people would legitimately make.
Probably.
Are you legitimately making them?
I mean, for the most part, I don't typically shop at Walmart, you know, but I certainly have, and I certainly see the value in it. And I think there's a place for both. Like, you know, they don't sell like high end stuff. They don't sell like artisanal like craft shit. It's all like low grade consumer electronics and the cheapest shit available. And that's great that they're providing that out there for people who need it and can't afford it otherwise. But, you know, for other people that have different tastes and different needs, that's what the other stores are for. And I think there's room for both in a free market economy.
I understand that effectively people get to have things at a lower price, which means, you know, for a lot of families, they can get stuff they wouldn't have otherwise been able to have. I get that. And I get that that would be, you know, of course, considered a positive thing in terms of the family's experience in that specific corner of their life. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, when a Walmart comes into a community, it requires a lot of people to operate, right? So a lot of people, you know, if they did exist, again, I'm using such a specific case of like it being the first Walmart in some big town. But also when a Walmart exists, it just kind of perpetually makes it so other suppliers can't come about that don't have massive contracts with these massive shopping conglomerates. But I think it's... I forgot what I was saying.
You've been noggin too.
I have not been noggin.
I don't Fuck. Know. No, but I mean, you were talking earlier about the slave labor.
I would be the worst lawyer, dude.
You couldn't possibly be worse than Trump's lawyers.
I'd just be in the middle of making a point, like very passionately, as I just was, and literally, oh my God, that is terrifying. Jesus. Trump's lawyer, Alan Dershowitz, the fucking kid diddler. God.
Wait, is he Trump's lawyer? I thought it was Giuliani and some.
He has a lot of lawyers. He has a lot of lawyers.
None of them are good.
Oh, I know what I was saying. Hello, here we go.
You back?
No, they're not good. They're fucking horrendous. Sidney Powell representing like Michael Flynn, who's basically at this point, that case is just like an extension of not getting Trump in trouble also. Anyways, I digress. This is why I forget things, because my brain's doing that shit all the time and is it has zero loyalty to the thought that I thought was important enough to start 10 seconds ago. But
I do that shit all the time.
God. I was saying, though, in a scenario when a Walmart comes in, you know, it's like on one hand, families can get more things than they wouldn't have been able to get. On the other hand, the community winds up getting a workforce that is, you know, employed largely, especially in a small town, it always winds up being the biggest employer of a town. So then you have a majority of your workforce working for this place that pays shitty wages, doesn't give the benefits that people need, and effectively is just sucking the means of people's labor out of their life. And
what were their
trade-off is you get to get maybe what, two more? I don't know. I can't quantify what people truly gain from a Walmart price difference than the alternative, but the trade-off does not seem fair. I disagree with your assumption that it is.
Well, the question is, what were their options before Walmart moved into the town?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Were they all crushing it and then Walmart moved in and now they all have to work for Walmart? Or did Walmart move in and provide a bunch of jobs, albeit low paying, that were better, that were available before they moved in? And I don't know the answer one way or the other, but I bet it's different for every town, you know?
Yeah. I don't know either. And I think you're probably onto something, you know, just looking at the facts of like the amount of money that people in a town were making. Cause yeah, that's probably how the Walmart got there in the first place, is it's going to create jobs. That's probably how city councils wind up, you know, it's generally they're going to, you know, they think it's going to be better for the economy. And with the metrics that they look at, maybe it is. But when you actually look at the individual experience of someone, I really wouldn't believe that it is. I think it's, with some confidence, you could probably say that it's worse.
Yeah. I mean, I would certainly encourage someone not to make a career out of working at Walmart, but you gotta start somewhere. Like, my first job was minimum wage. It wasn't at Walmart, but you know, it's Daisy's Diner. I was a dishwasher.
Oh, that's cute to think of. A diner as your first job. That's adorable.
Yeah, I was 15 years old, had a big old apron back there. Scrubbing pots.
Hell yeah. Just getting talked at by the chef who is like Cecilia, who's 70 years old and has like chooses to wear a curly gray wig. She could have picked any color. She chose gray.
Got a bowl with three gray hairs. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my God. I love that. Oh my God. That's so fun. But yeah, to wrap it up, I just think it supports so many different parts of the global economy, honestly, that are just really bad. What it really comes down to is having a better alternative, you know, like Target, for example, they're not perfect either, but they pay better and their prices are, you know, comparable on like most of their items, I would say. And it's not such a disgusting company. It's still, you know, in its own way is definitely supporting consumerism in ways that aren't like mindful and do harm. Also,
I wouldn't trust any retail company that didn't engage in consumerism, though. Like, that's your whole job. You sell things for a living.
Totally.
Are you trying to talk people out of it? Get out of here.
Yeah, but when I say consumerism, I mean stuff like fast fashion, you know, like shit that gets made in faraway lands. It's stuff that gets made, like Forever 21 is fast fashion. It's cheap clothes that get made overseas, not good quality. The labor sourcing is not ethical in a lot of the circumstances. And these companies make so much money because they can sell it, you know, at a cheaper price. And then since the company, so like the clothes aren't good quality, people wear it after a few times. It starts getting all, you know, weird and gapey and shit. And then you throw it away or donate it and then go get more. It's like, what?
I was just thinking, so you're talking about Forever 21, and the way you're describing it, it kind of sounds like Hot Topic, and I imagine that the Hot Topics and the Forever 21s probably have some kind of rivalry, like the Jets and the Pink Ladies or whatever.
I disagree. I think Hot Topic makes quality clothes.
Do they? You know, I bought my first Slayer CD from a Hot Topic.
Hell yeah. No, where else are you going to get like a corset dress with pink ribbons and metal hoops?
Yeah.
That's made by artisans.
I can't tell if you're being serious. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't think there's a factory churning out a bunch of those dresses.
You know what I'm
saying? Maybe like the world's a very different place than I thought.
I feel like Hot Topic is just the Forever 21 for emo kids. Like,
it is.
I bet all that shit's made in China.
Yeah. Probably. Definitely. Yeah. Hot Topics are just like 1/10 the size. They take up much less space, you know, like a depressed kid curled into a ball. That's what Hot Topic is as a store. Everything's very crammed. There's no room to move.
I've never been in a Forever 21. Are they big? Are they like a department store? Are they like...
Yeah, there are some Forever 21s that are like 3 stories high. And
really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like a massive, massive chain.
You know, the original name was Forever 18, and they were like, this might be a little bit too... A little bit too borderline here. Let's bump it up to drinking age, shall we?
For what reason? For what reason would it be borderline?
Because isn't the marketing strategy behind Forever 21? It's marketed to women, right?
They have a men's and kids section now, even.
Do they?
Yeah, but yeah, I would say in general it was like a woman's clothing brand mostly.
Yeah, and like the idea is it's like Forever 21, like we got clothes that'll make you like look like a young hot chick forever.
Yes.
Like, that's the idea behind the marketing, right?
Yes, you're so right. That's hilarious. Forever 18.
They're gonna come out with one for men that's like Forever 35.
Yeah, the PC culture, man. They're just gonna keep pushing that number up and up and up. It's gonna be Forever 45. Like when they stop asking for your ID.
Do you still get carded?
Yes, yeah, totally. Do you?
Every once in a while. I think they just do it to do it, though. Like, I don't think anybody's fooled at this point.
Yeah. I think I probably get carded like 75% of the time.
Yeah.
Mm.
You'll get there, Coburn.
No, thank you. I can't wait. All right. I think that's good on the warm up. I feel loose.
All right.
I feel ready. Yeah.
You want to move on to a disagree mail from a new patron?
Hell yeah. Yes, let's get into it. Let's get into the I disagree mail.
So shout out to all the new patrons. We got Tanya Wilson, Jeremy Wells, and Stephen Walsh coming in right off the gate. Brand new patron. He's got a disagree mail.
Hell yes. Thank you. Everybody, also, just so you know, for I disagree mails, you don't even have to be a patron. If you're just a listener, you can send those to us. Hit us up on Twitter at the I Disagree Pod, or you can email us at the I Disagree Podcast at gmail.com. And I'm excited to hear this.
So Stephen Walsh says, a little necessary background on me. I'm a Navy veteran. Thank you for your service, Stephen, who spent 4 years on submarines. Half of those 4 years were spent underwater, surrounded by 120-ish dudes in extremely close quarters. This is important because if we're talking about hyper-masculine, extremely sexual straight culture, I feel I have been to the top of the mountain. Sounds like it, Stephen. With that being said, Steve, I disagree with your assessment about pretty much everything you said last episode in regards to straight men. The basis of my argument is that masculinity is inherently performative. Masculine culture typically attributes manliness to things like being uncomfortable, picking up stuff, not showing emotion, and of course, having sex with women. The entire masculine culture is based on constantly proving how straight you are by not giving in to gay temptation or something. I read that wrong. Hold on. The entire masculine culture is based on constantly proving how straight you are, but not giving in to gay temptation or something. I say this as a man who has had a conversation with another man while cupping each other's balls because, and I can't stress the question mark enough, we definitely weren't gay.
And I can't stress the question mark enough.
I hope I'm reading this in the way you want me to read it, Stephen, because it's very funny. I hope I'm hitting the inflection points properly. The point is, there is a reason the male-on-male genital touching of our youth/young adult lives kind of dies out when you get older. And I don't know how to break it to you, but your sexuality is likely more flexible than you realize. I don't think being 100% straight is a very common thing. You honestly believe that zero men in the entire world are objectively attractive, or whatever term makes you comfortable enough to admit you see beauty in the male form?
Fuck, man.
The vast majority of men watching sports sound like they're a half step away from jerking off. I feel like Steven like has premonition and he heard me fucking talking about sports before this started, because dude, if you could hear me go on about Michael Jordan, listen. Anyway, Steven Walsh goes on to say,
no please,
we'll get to it. I'm just saying, six rings, you know what I'm saying? Six rings, two Olympic gold medals, and the game-winning shot in the NCAA tournament in college to get that championship too.
I get it. Six rings, six fingers, one butthole. I get it.
Yeah, I mean, you're way ahead of me, Jordan.
Exactly. I really love how Steven talks.
He's funny, right?
Yes.
He goes on. Where was he saying? Just because you aren't acting on it doesn't mean you aren't displaying non-hetero behavior. It's just normalized for men. As a male dominated masculine culture, we have a tendency to hypersexualize female on female attraction, but are disgusted by male on male attraction. The only difference is thanks to good old misogyny. We men have the ability to control the language used. And he gives an example. Two college age women touching each other's boobs. Then he says, in quotation marks, experimentation. Then he gives another example. Two college-age dudes constantly touching each other's dicks and balls and asses and nipples, etc. homo or whatever.
Constantly.
So, he goes on, but I do want to point out those two examples. Like, it sounds like the two dudes are having way more fun than the two chicks.
Yeah.
Like, they're constant. Not only are they touching dicks, but they're also touching balls, asses, and nipples. Okay, fine. You sold me. This is what goes on. I'm in. Whereas the two college age women just touching each other's boobs. He made it sound so clinical, like they're doing a breast exam. Like, oh, I don't feel any lumps. Your turn. Whereas these two dudes are just getting in there.
That is true. It sounds much more fun to be with penis having in this scenario.
No doubt. So he goes on. I'm not really sure where I'm going with this. The point is, Daniel Craig in Casino Royale coming up out of the ocean in his tiny little European... Okay. So Daniel Craig in Casino Royale coming up out of the ocean in his tiny little European shorts is attractive, and that's okay. Get your Rue pouch or whatever you need to call it to make yourself feel it isn't the dreaded feminine purse, and stop being uncomfortable because it's manly to do so. You will continue to feel the exact same way about titties, he puts in quotes. And I quote, titties. And for the record, that word is super cringe. All right, boobies, fine. Seriously, love the podcast though. Don't stop steving, Steve. Otherwise, the show would just be liberals mostly agree, and then it would just be Twitter.
Yeah, Steven, yes, that was so fucking good.
That was a great disagree mail.
Yeah, that was really a mic drop at the end. Hell yes. Oh my god, I love that. I love how he like phrased so many things too. It was very direct, and I think very very fair. Yeah.
Yeah.
What
I
do
mean,
you think?
Well, I don't know how much to reveal about like the peek behind the curtain, but like I appreciate the time and effort he put into that disagreement, so I want to do it justice, but like not everything I say on here is serious. Sometimes I'm just ripping on some dumb shit to get a reaction out of Jordan.
Oh my god, and that is the difference between the two of us. I will never do that.
So I think it's pretty clear he's referencing when I was talking about how Europeans wear Speedos.
Yes. Yes.
Look, I ain't wearing, I don't care what you say and your hilarious, eloquently worded email, Steven. I ain't wearing no goddamn. Actually, the way he described that interaction with all the nipples and asses and balls.
Yes, very erotic.
You know what? Maybe I'll give it a go. Who knows?
Yeah. I think he brings up a lot of good points.
I want to take it seriously because it was so many good points. But
yeah.
It was also so funny.
It was so, I know. I love, that was really well written. I think he brings up a good point of like kind of just talking about this sort of love on a spectrum or like affection on a spectrum. And when it crosses a certain point, then that becomes sexual attraction, right? But like until you cross that threshold, it's kind of just existing on the spectrum of appreciation. So when we talk about the guy from Casino Royale or whatever coming up and out of water.
Have you seen
some
that?
People? I have not. No, I'm sure it was very hot though. But or I could think
you know
of
who Daniel
like,
Craig is though, right?
Yes, yes, okay. Yeah. I'm sure it's very hot. Or like some equivalent scene that I've seen with a woman. Part of that attraction, and I think part of like finding anybody to be sexually attractive is they have qualities that you either desire directly or like really appreciate, and then it turns sexual once it's like, I mean, I guess it's sexual when it's genitalia related, really. So a lot of the times I think we're just like attracted to things because maybe part of you wants that or something. I don't stand behind anything that I'm saying. Can I do that?
Yeah, of course you can do that.
I'm just doing the definition of thinking out loud, and I like to kind of maybe not rescind, but more so remove the name tag of Jordan Coburn made this from those ideas.
Put it on me.
But yes, I mean, point being, it makes me think of this concept of like, you know, being attracted to something, maybe not to the point where you would personally believe that it's sexual attraction, but you're still like, fuck, that thing's like beautiful, you know? Maybe you do want to fuck it, who knows?
I mean, I could think some, like, I don't want to fuck a sunset,
right?
You know,
right,
I mean?
Right, that's, yeah, that's why I kind of had to stop and be like, this only applies to genitalia stuff or like form, or I don't know, some people find like intellect sexually attractive, and that's totally fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think all that's hot and all, but I mean, I like the female form. That's
right.
That's what gets me going.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I mean, I can be physically attracted to someone who's a fucking dumb. I mean, if they start talking and they're really dumb, then it does have an effect. I'm not gonna lie, it does have an effect.
Yeah.
But
I disagree with how misogynist that sounds, and yet I would say the same thing.
You're right. You could see a hot guy and be like, that dude's fucking hot. Then you talk to him, he's like, God, he's fucking dumb as fuck, but pretty hot.
Yeah.
I want to date him. I want to date him. But
yes.
You can hang out. You know? I'm speaking for you now. Feel free to jump in.
Yeah,
you're like, no, I mean, take it away, Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. I do enjoy hearing your thoughts on this subject because it's a disagree mail directed at you. So talk as much as you'd like to get your opinions out there.
Well, I guess, I mean, I mostly agree with everything you said. Like, I mean, I was just riffing when I was talking. I mean, I do think that Europeans look fucking ridiculous in their tiny little shorts at the beach, but hey, I'm sure they think we look ridiculous with our long, like, oh, look at these Americans ashamed of their knees. Get out of here. Beat it, America.
Yeah.
You fucking
and
yank.
Their AK-47 purses.
Right. You know?
What's
Australians used to give me shit when I worked in Hawaii. They used to give me shit about sales tax.
Uh-huh.
That's the shit that bugged them.
Yeah.
Oh, in Australia, we put the tax before the price. So the price it says is the price it is. And I'm like, well, I don't know the fuck to tell you, buddy.
That was the best accent.
Was it?
Yes. Oh, my God. You really did a good job showcasing the British settlement element of the Australian identity.
And I also like Australians because they call sunglasses sunnies. Ah, I forgot. Ooh, me sunnies.
That's adorable.
I always thought that was cool. They call them sunnies. Let me get some of them sunnies.
It is like they do have the most cute names for things. Kangaroo? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he mentioned that. Stephen mentioned that the roo, because I think we called we said, because I was making the argument that if the Australians ever came out with the man's handbag, it would not nearly be as feminine as the European men's handbag.
Right.
Because I just inherently find Australians to be tougher men than Europeans. But again, that goes into what Stephen was saying about gender roles.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
Is it because you think there's a desert in Australia and you're conflating their geography with their humans?
Yeah, don't they all carry around big ass knives and like fucking fight wild animals? They got like two cities over there and the rest of it's just fucking wilderness and dingoes and like allegedly dinosaurs.
Allegedly dinosaurs.
I've heard there is uncharted territory in the outback that you might be able to find a Dilophosaurus.
Oh my god.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
That would be so amazing. I hope that's a thing that people think is a thing. That would be amazing.
You got some wild ass animals over there is what I'm saying. But okay.
Yeah. I also like that you don't just think people would live in the same suburbs that exist in the most uninhabitable spaces like Vegas and shit, you know, that is in the United States. I think like...
Oh, everybody in Vegas is crazy too.
You'd be disappointed to go to Australia and see not everybody is wrapped in leather and hangs off to sharpened buck knives at all times.
Well, no, not by that big seashell fucking thing in Sydney, the opera house. That's where they're all running around acting cultured. But you step outside, and that's when they're fucking just rawhide and fucking big ass Bowie knives and, you know, living off the land.
If anyone lives in Australia, please, for the love of God, write in. Please, please disagree with Steve, or just tell us if that's the case.
What if it was? What if we got some? What if we got people writing in from Australia? It's like, you know what? The Yank nailed it.
The Yank nailed it. You just imagine there's just like alligators going around, like fucking wrecking.
Yeah.
Just everywhere. That's so funny. But
do you feel like we addressed Steven's, do you have anything you want to say to Steven's points?
I feel like we could go into the main event, but yeah, really quick, I just wanted to say thank you, Steven. Thank you for becoming a patron, and thank you for
the hilarious email. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Cool. Let's get into it. The main event.
So this is the main event, and if you are a patron at patreon.com/idisagreepodcast and you're at the $50 tier or above, you can actually select the main event topic for us to talk about. So I wanted to talk about today, states around the country are putting in various like travel restrictions or restrictions on large groups gathering for the holidays. And I want to know what you think about that, Jordan.
Yeah, I think this is a fantastic topic, Steve. I thank you for bringing it up, because I imagine as a libertarian, you have a lot of opinions on shit like that. But like, I know Newsom, I think nothing's been mandated, right? But it's like not encouraging.
Not in California, as far as I know.
Yeah, but the guidelines are pretty strict. It's like limited to 3 households or something. Keep it outdoors. If it is inside, make sure it's like super, super short or something. And I don't think they even say that. I think it's like outside. It's just a very unrealistic Thanksgiving thing, which is why I hope most families are just going to be like, okay, let's just not do it. Let's just postpone. You know, you can just, it sucks to postpone, but I think people should just kind of be team players if by being on a team, you also didn't die.
Yeah, I think, I don't have any problem with the government making recommendations. But that's as much as I'll give them. Recommendations. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I think, you know, I mean, I think we're, 8 months into this thing now? I think people pretty much get it, and they can make their own personal calculated risk assessment whether or not it's worthwhile to gather with their family during the holidays. But I think other than the government making recommendations, I don't think they should have a fucking role in it. I think they should shut their fucking mouths.
I disagree.
gone.
I think that you're kind of mischaracterizing the situation with that opinion, because the reason why, you know, you say people kind of know what's up or whatever, what they know to be up is dependent upon everybody being extra cautious and listening to the government. And there have been state mandates of stay-at-home orders and right. those things,
like New
I think.
York, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just the restaurant closures and things like that, it's all very much in the context of being restrictive and imposing restrictions on us. And so, really, it's just another set of restrictions that already exist. So I feel like it's not fair to treat it as some threshold they're crossing. They've already crossed it. They're already doing things for public health reasons. This would just be more things.
I think it's time to rein some of that shit back, though. Like, let people make their own decisions at this point. We're 8 months in. It's very serious, but we all have to fucking admit it is not as serious as we initially thought. We initially thought it was the fucking Black Plague. We thought millions and millions of people were going to die.
That's not true.
It's not a zombie apocalypse. It's very serious. It's more serious than the flu. And every individual should make their own calculated risk assessment. And if you're in a vulnerable group and you don't think it's worthwhile to gather together during the holidays, then do not. But like, as a free individual, if you think it's worth the risk, then fucking go for it. I think the government, enough. It's fucking November now. It's almost December. We've been doing this shit since March.
But Steve, just because it's taking a long time, that doesn't change the science of any of it. It's something that's, I mean, I disagree with like pretty much everything you just said. The fact that it's 8 months, first off, timeline wise, it would be so dumb to have now be the time when people just get to start making their own choices and doing whatever and reining that shit in, because this is exactly when the second wave was said to be hitting, and it is, right? Like, the scientists were right. We're seeing another second wave, haha. We're saying a second wave, and people are dying in higher numbers. To allow people to start gathering, and they're going to gather because if they open up the restaurants, the fucking people that don't believe in it will go. Numbers are going to go up exponentially. It's not just an individual choice if they can come back and then get a bunch of other people sick and it starts off a chain reaction. You don't get that individual. That's beyond individual liberty at that point. Your actions now have a domino effect that goes God knows how far. It's not an individual liberty.
Well, I mean, I would agree, but it's just we're so arbitrary and random on how we determine like when it's okay to get together and when it's not. It's just like, okay, well, you really shouldn't get together with your family.
I agree.
But if you want to celebrate Biden's victory, by all means, gather in the streets and have a parade. Fuck you.
No, seriously. No one's saying that. They're just not.
Absolutely saying that. I'll say, in the very least, there was no fucking like public scolding or shaming whenever people gather in large groups for particular political reasons. But when people want to get together with their family on Thanksgiving, oh, you're killing grandma. Grandma can decide whether she wants to come to Thanksgiving dinner or not. That's like, we're fucking, people are adults. Let people make their own fucking decisions. I'm not encouraging people to go out and gather in groups. It might not be a good idea. I'm not flying home for Thanksgiving, but that's my fucking choice. You know what I'm saying?
But right now, more so than when this even first started, we know that there's a massive group of people in this country that, if given the choice, would populate those spaces that we know to be super spreader spaces, like these indoor bars that stay open at till 2, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, so to now lift the restrictions that are not honestly that high in number and exist right now would be to unleash that whole population that we know for a fact are all going to engage in those risky behaviors.
That's not true, though, that they're minimal restrictions. I mean, that's businesses and livelihoods are shutting down. Like in LA, they fucking shut everything down. And apparently all these restaurants are fucked because they ordered all this food for Thanksgiving and now they have nothing to do with it. And it's like, we can't go on like this forever. It's not the Black Plague. Take reasonable precautions. Wear a mask and make decisions based on your own personal, whatever demographic you fall in. Like if you're in your 80s, yeah, maybe you should quarantine. But at this point, it's like we have to fucking get back to it. It's been since fucking March, and it's stupid at this point. Take reasonable precautions. I'm not saying it's a hoax. It's very serious, but it's not the end of the fucking world. And sure, we need to act like adults.
Sure. I mean, again, though, it's like people won't act like adults. An adult would choose to not go out to an event that they know has a high chance of transmitting the illness and then them spreading it around. So we, if
that's
only
a choice you can make, though, you don't have you don't have to go to events.
Okay, let's think about the grocery store.
Right. And that's another thing. Like, grocery stores have been open the whole time, but schools haven't. And if
because
we're talking
people
about
people need to eat and they can't get food from anywhere other than the grocery store in most cases. School, you can do 100% at home.
But I mean, if we're going by the science, the science overwhelmingly says that schools aren't super spreaders. But so it's completely arbitrary what gets shut down and what doesn't, and whose livelihood gets fucked and who doesn't by who's a member of a fucking public sector union or whatever, you know. And this is like, let's just be adults. Let's take reasonable precautions. The vaccine's going to be available in a couple months anyway, and fucking let's get back to it. Like, what if the vaccine never came out? What if we never got a vaccine, which is entirely possible? There's no AIDS vaccine. There's no herpes vaccine. Were we just supposed to do this forever because of COVID? Which is not the Black Plague. Like,
no, I think at that point, then I'm pretty
what,
sure.
At what point would we just be like, all right, it is what it is. Be
well,
careful
if,
out there.
If the promise of a vaccine was one that didn't exist, then I think people would just say, well, then, yeah. I mean, we have to just go for herd immunity at this point. And that's a much higher death count way to get to where you're trying to get with a vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know that there's any way around it one way or the other, because nobody's talking about it, but like the rest of the world's getting fucked just as hard as we are. Like, American
media, not true.
It's absolutely true. Fucking
no.
Europe's getting thrashed.
I 100% other places are also not doing well, but we're doing particularly horrible. But also there are places.
We're not doing particularly horrible. We're middle of the road. We're like the 13th worst or something.
I don't have the statistics in my brain to combat that, so I would just like to put an IOU chip down.
All right.
In terms of facts.
I mean, I'm not saying we're doing great. We're not crushing it, but the only places that are really crushing it are like fucking New Zealand. Okay, we can be an island and shut down everything and close our borders. Okay, we can be a small island and we could be New Zealand. Otherwise, like the industrialized world is getting hit with this thing and it sucks, but it doesn't appear, no matter what strategy any country took, it's all been varying degrees of not doing great.
I'm fairly certain Germany is an example of a country that
Germany, yes, is like the outlier in that entire region. And they're not like doing great. They're just doing great comparative to their neighbors.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know what maybe if everybody did what Germany did, but nobody did what Germany did. And I think it's too late to fucking do what Germany did. Like, if we'd known now what we'd known then, yeah, we could just maybe follow the German strategy.
We are just so close to a vaccine. I mean, I disagree 100% with the premise of being like, it's going to be here. Just let people start making their own decisions, because I don't trust people to make their own decisions in this scenario. And I think there has to be legislation that limits what people can do. But I think that the vaccine is so close at this point to lift. Yeah, it wouldn't make that would be such a horrible move. It's like basically if you had a broom and a mess, it would be like looking at the mess and being like, well, at least this is a manageable pile of mess, but I'm just going to like let it grow for no reason.
I mean,
that was a horrible analogy. That was a horrible analogy.
I know where you were going with it, though. I mean,
oh
I
my
get
god!
It.
Wow, that was an intellectual bomb.
No, I know what you were saying with it, but I'm just saying it's not for no reason, though. It's not like there are no consequences to carrying on the way we are and treating it the way we are. There's always trade-offs in everything. The trade-off is it fucking fucks up people's livelihoods. And like, say you're an old person. Say you're in the demographic that is at high risk for COVID, because you and I are not. You know what I'm saying? Like, me more than you. Me more than you. But ultimately, we're not. But if you're, like, in your 70s, that should be a decision that you get to make. Like, I might not have many Thanksgivings left with my family. Maybe I want to take this risk, this comparatively low risk, really, to to spend one of my final few holidays with my family.
Or you could just wait.
Or you might decide, no, I don't want to take that risk, and I'm not going to do it. But, like, isn't that their choice?
I mean, here's the thing. It's like, when New York was needing to bring in refrigerated trucks for all the bodies of the people that were dying, everybody was pretty on the same page about having mandates for what you could and couldn't do. So really, it's just a matter of what people consider to be an emergency, because we've already been shown that people are willing to do this stuff in the state of an emergency. It's just about agreeing what emergency is. And that's, like, not considering, I think, the outliers that are like, no, on principle, no one ever fucking tells me what to do. I think for the most part, people in New York are like, okay, yes, this makes sense, you know? So now it's just, we're in this position where you have to be able to make the argument convincingly that the amount of people that are dying and the amount of risk that it you know, is assumed when you do that, you have to make the argument that it's not bad enough. And that's so, like, impossible to make, I think.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is impossible to make. And that's, I mean, that's a decision that, like, societies make every year about a multitude of things, including, like, raising the speed limit. You know, I mean, all the conspiracy theorists act like COVID's the flu, and COVID is not the flu. COVID is a lot more serious than the flu. That being said, the flu kills 40,000-50,000 people a year. That's a lot of people, and we don't do any of this shit to prevent it. We accept that. We write that off as the cost of doing business. We write off however many tens of thousands of deaths on the highway every year that we know we could prevent if we lowered the speed limit to 50 miles an hour. We know we would prevent, say, 20,000 deaths a year. And we write that off as the cost of doing business. I mean, it is what it is. And I don't know where you draw that line, but I think as adults in society, we need to agree that there is a line somewhere. And it's not just like, if we can save one life, because that's empty platitudes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think hopefully, ultimately, we're close for the vaccine distribution.
I hope so.
Yeah. Are you going to take the first round that comes out?
Probably.
Same. Yeah.
I don't see why I want it. I mean, there is the thing that I'm fairly low risk for COVID anyway. So maybe just like, yeah, let them get the bugs out first. Then I'll take it after. Like,
I totally understand that as, like, a rational choice maker. It is just kind of shitty. But I've had that thought too. But I think I will.
I think I'd, like, take it.
I will take it. I've trusted all the other vaccines, except I was very young and didn't make the decision really myself. But
the difference is this one was kind of made on the fly, which I trust the scientists involved. I trust that they're not going to intentionally rush a bad vaccine on the market, even just for fucking financial incentives. That's going to, if Pfizer puts out some bullshit that fucks everybody up, then that's going to fuck up their share prices. So, like, I have confidence that, like, their intent, what they put out, is going to be, to the best of their knowledge, a good vaccine. That being said, they did come up, they got it out really quick. I don't know what the timeline for a typical vaccine is, but I feel like they crushed this one.
I think so too. I do trust, though, that there's just, you know, gaps in time that may exist normally to allow for error, or, like, more error.
And there's no way to know what the long-term effects of the COVID vaccine is based on trials, because it hasn't been a long time yet.
Exactly. You know? I think, but for the first trial to even... Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
I think for like... I forget if it was 2 years or 11 years. I think it might... I'm sure the trials exist in, you know, all different lengths and stuff. But yeah, it's like, if you plan on taking it in the first someone's lifetime, then you may as well just get it now. That might be a bad take.
I mean, It might be, but I'm gonna play the odds.
Yeah.
And odds are they have not put out a vaccine yet that has led to like a zombie uprising or something like that. Like,
yep.
There might be some bugs in it, but whatever. It'll be fine.
I agree. I happily take every vaccine that I'm supposed to because I'm not a fucking scientist and I believe that people are smarter than me. And that's really
that's
what
how they get you, though. That's how they get you.
Is that a joke?
I mean, yes, but there's probably some truth to it, dude. Because if you were like a nefarious mad scientist and you wouldn't like there's this show on Amazon with John Cusack called Utopia, and they make up a fake, well, they make up, it's a real virus, but they infect populations of school children. And now the public's freaking out about this disease that's infected school children. So they rush a vaccine to the market. And it turns out the vaccine actually sterilizes you for like three generations.
So oh my God.
Like, it's a way to like wipe out most of humanity and start over. But it's all based on people like, oh yeah, I'm going to take the vaccine because of this disease. And the timing of this show was really funny because it came out before COVID and then they had to like cancel it. And it's because it's just too on the nose. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not, I wouldn't call it a good show. But it's got interesting ideas in it. Like the,
yeah,
it's interesting, but the execution isn't really great at all points. And it's kind of like a little far fetched, but so to what you were saying, what I was saying is like, that's how they get you. You're like, oh, I'm not a scientist. They give me a vaccine. I'm going to take it. Now you're one of the lizard people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I gotta be honest.
I'm taking it probably.
Yeah.
I'm not scared of that. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm fine with it. I'll take it.
Yeah. I was just going to say, the premise of that show is not the worst thing ever. If there was a society of global responsible citizens, you know, that were like, we're going to save this fucking planet, and they did that shit, I might just be like, good game. I did kind of want a kid, but good game, you know? I'm just kidding. That'd probably be incredibly horrifying to find out. But if people could voluntarily just choose, you know, to like have less kids and consume less and stuff, it doesn't have to be that extreme. We could all come together and do the shit that's actually really not that hard right now to save the planet. Or we could wait until an Illuminati group of benefactors, depending on how you look at it, that also just eliminate the chance for your line to continue.
I disagree.
You disagree.
Yeah, I think overpopulation is a false premise. I don't think the Earth's overpopulated. I think we have more than enough resources, and I think we have more people on the planet now and less people starving than ever before. You know, China had the one child policy for a while because I guess they were worried about overpopulation because they got like a billion Chinese people over there. But as it turned out, now they have an aging population and they don't have any young people to support it. We're kind of doing the same thing over here and in Europe, like voluntarily is like, you know, they called the baby boomers were called the baby boomers because they had a bunch of fucking babies, but now we're not having a bunch of babies and then all these old people are retiring. So you got a whole bunch of people retiring that need to collect Social Security benefits, which they earned, which they paid into, which they are entitled to. But not enough people coming up behind them to like fill the pot.
Tax the rich.
I mean, I guess you could, but they're already paying plenty of taxes.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say this as a not rich person, but I don't think enough.
Well, either way, the point is we have more people on the planet and less people starving. So we're not running out of resources. Humanity knows how to handle it. And I mean, maybe in 100 years, maybe the shit will start to level off and it will be a problem, but overpopulation is not a problem right now. And that's been like a thing, the population bomb. Somebody wrote a book about it, like in, I don't know, like the 60s or 70s. And it predicted like by now, by like our time, that the rate that the human population was growing exponentially on the planet, by now we'd be like having like like mass starvation and civil wars and like, you know, people be fighting over water and shit. And the fact is we have more people on the planet now living at a higher standard of living and less people of poverty. And like that discrepancy keeps growing every year.
Regardless of the projections of the past or the future, though, looking at where we're at in the present, it's not a good spot.
Why do you say that, though?
The carbon levels are really high presently. There's danger to species. Like, species are going extinct left and right from changes in the climate that have been 100% linked to those sorts of emissions. I think, you know,
I interrupted because of the nog, but
yeah, I mean, I guess I just the nog. I guess I find your position to be very problematic because it seems to easily lend itself to the argument of climate change not being real.
No, I mean, I think it's probably real, but I think that humanity has encountered a lot of things in the past that we've been able to figure out. And like, I mean, you look at climate emissions in the U.S. alone, they're down because we've figured out new ways to harness energy. And I think as the available amount of oil and coal and things like that, is the availability of that decreases, the price of that will go up, and that'll drive an incentive to find new ways to harness energy. And I think that's already happening.
I think it's already happening too, and I think it's only logical that it'll continue to happen. But I do think that just our habits of consumption really are just nothing but bad. I do agree though that there's more and more incentives for like clean products to be on the shelves, and you see that more and more. You see vegetarian things becoming more thing. I think society is getting on the train. I feel like it's slowly starting to roll towards like making changes that are gonna hopefully put us back on the right track instead of just fucking barreling towards a really bad spot.
Right. That's one of the few things I remember from Intro to Economics was like the economic axiom that people respond to incentives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it is. You can force people to do something, but yeah, ultimately, if the cost of having a coal plant goes through the roof because coal becomes less and less available, then there's an incentive there to do it a cleaner way. And if it's more cost effective and it's cleaner to, I don't know, run a nuclear reactor or have a field of solar panels, then as long as the government doesn't get in there and trying to monkey around with the fucking market incentives, I think we'll be all right.
But some people will never let go of coal.
Well, people that own coal plants, people that own coal mines, yeah.
Yeah, people that have like an investment in oil and, you know, natural stuff like that, that's not as sustainable.
Well, they need to diversify their bonds.
That's true. But what happens when it's this monopoly company?
Like who?
Or maybe oligarchs, I should say. I can't tell you because I don't know anything about the space.
I don't either. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. You want to wrap it up?
Yes.
What are you thankful? You want to do the corny thing that everybody does on their Thanksgiving show? What are you thankful for, Jordan?
I'm thankful for my health and position in life and people around me in my life that have provided me like a lot of support and solace during a really fucked up year. I think like I made it out, knock on wood, pretty okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm doing okay, you know, and this is the worst year ever. So the fact that I feel like I'm doing okay and it's the worst year ever, I'm thankful for that. What about
well
you?
Said. Yeah, well said. I'm thankful. Thankful I made it through the COVID pretty unscathed, health-wise and financially.
Mm-hmm.
Thankful for my friends like Jordan Coburn and all our good friends at the I Disagroupies.
Yes.
Thankful for my girlfriend and our new pup, Detective Kima Greggs from the Baltimore Police Department. And my two kitty cats, Sarah Connor and Ellen Ripley.
Yay. That's very sweet. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I hope you had a safe day and it was filled with delicious fucking food. Enjoy the leftovers.